Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. We have a show today. I've been very much looking forward to talking with Peter King. And you guys know we have Peter on every week during the regular season. With the Cardinals out of the playoffs, we give him a couple weeks off. But I saw where Peter became a grandfather for the first time, which is cool. And he's going to Skype in with us. We'll have Peter King in about 15 minutes. We will talk about Larry Fitzgerald's future, Kurt Warner, because Peter is going to be in that room for the Hall of Fame. So we'll talk with Peter about that and then the game itself and some of the storylines. I got to believe a guy like Peter, who's been around the NFL for 40-plus years, is going to look at that moment that may happen, that moment of Tom Brady standing there with Bob Kraft and Roger Goodell, and Goodell having to take the trophy, which in this case, my coffee cup, and hand it over. And that's going to be in front of everybody across the world. They're going to say, oh my gosh, that must be an awkward moment. Like, Eric, don't you think if we're looking at this Super Bowl, the game itself is fine. It's fine. Like, Julio Jones is a beast. We're going to talk about Julio Jones all week. We're going to talk about Matt Ryan. But the idea that people are wanting to see Julio Jones on a podium versus seeing Tom Brady next to Roger Goodell.
Oh, right? That's a no-doubter. Of course. Because that's going to be a great, I guarantee Vegas is already trying to set up certain, you know, odds on what will be the reaction if Tom Brady wins the MVP and Goodell gives him the trophy. Like, what's the over-under on words exchanged between the two?
That's true.
You can definitely see Vegas doing some prop bets around that.
No, that's right. How long would the acceptance speech be?
Correct.
Will they make eye contact? Right? Like, I mean, you can really go that. Will Tom Brady drop an F-bomb on Roger Goodell?
No.
5-1 or something like
that.
Yeah,
no, I can't see that.
Bob Kraft. Would Bob Kraft say something very stately like, thank you very much, Commissioner. It's great that you tried to screw us over, but we are here to stuff this in your backside. Tom, do you have some words? Yeah, I'd just like to say that I got over on you, Commissioner, and you're done. No, that won't happen because they'll take the high road, the whole endorsement deal.
And Tom Brady's a lot like Larry Fitzgerald. He's very scripted and
calculated
right. In what he says.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that. There's just guys that have got it figured out. They've got a big group around them. But you just wonder sometime if they'll go off script. Like, I'm looking at this Super Bowl, Eric, and I want to talk to Peter about it. And the fact that the Falcons, if you go look at the history of what Cleveland has done to help Atlanta get to this Super Bowl, it's a case study, guys, that any of you watching right now, wherever it is you're watching, your cubicle, on the life cycle, wherever it is, you could be a general manager of an NFL team. Don't think that you can't do it. Because Cleveland's the one that said, Julio Jones, we'll get some draft picks. Cleveland's the one that said, Alex Mack, we don't need him, starting center. Cleveland's the one, Taylor Gabriel, he can't play. So, you know, you got to give Cleveland an assist on this for Atlanta to even get this far. It's stunning to me how you could have such incompetence. We're the ones that are going to draft Johnny Manziel and it's all going to be great. We're Cleveland. So we're going to talk to Peter about that. And then Greg Byrne's going to be with us today. Should I ask Greg for his coat? You know, that red and blue and whatever, that picnic table thing that he wears?
I think you should.
He's got to clean out his closet, right?
Yeah. I'm most anxious to see and hear how Greg Byrne concludes our interview today, because he always says after every single interview he's ever done with you, bear down. Well, he's still technically at U of A until the end of the month.
Right.
But he has already been introduced as Alabama's new AD. So is it going to be bear down? Is it going to be roll tide? Is it going to be a combination of both? Is he just going to go dark and not say either? I can't see that happening.
Well, so people should know this about Greg. And we wanted to give Greg some time when he took the gig. You know, take some time here, but understand this. I want to know, how do you get the Pac-12 network straightened out? Because this is the second time Greg's gone to the SEC. And I'm just sitting here doing my thing in Scottsdale, Arizona. When we've been to Tucson more than a few times, I've just gotten the sense that Greg's looked at the Pac-12 conference and has said, what are you guys doing here? You know, just scratch the head. Just, there's just little things. And I'm going to ask him, you know, what would the Pac-12, what should the Pac-12 do differently than what the SEC has done? Those that are going to say the Pac-12 is all everything, especially in football, they're not. You know, the Pac-12 network's obviously been a disaster. No matter how people try to spin it, it's just been a total train wreck. So there's some stuff there I want to get into with Greg and give him a chance here to open up his emotions on taking the job and leaving U of A. And it's smart that he's taken a month off. Twice in my career, I've taken 4 months off. And it's a beautiful thing if you can do it. One time I was being paid to sit out in this industry, you're going to get fired. If you don't get fired, you really haven't made it in this industry. So I got blown out. They paid me to go away. I went away. I grew a beard. I coached my kids. I just got away from sports entirely, came back into it. Second time is when I walked away from Channel 3 and said, I'm going to open Sports 360. Went and got knee surgery, hung out on the beach, grew a beard. There's still some stuff up top here that went away. And just hung out and didn't really pay attention to stuff. And then came back refreshed and recharged. Greg's going to do the same thing. I don't think walking into Alabama, like on a Friday, I'm done at U of A. And Monday, I'm going to start at Alabama, would be smart at all. He's got to go detox. Go through the process. So I'm looking forward to talking to him about that. You know, in terms of sports last night, there was not much going on. The only thing that really caught my eye, I watched some of Russell Westbrook highlights. Russell Westbrook is not an all-star for whatever reason. And Steve Kerr rips the NBA and the players, as only Steve Kerr could, to say you've got to take your vote more serious. Russell Westbrook had his 22nd triple-double of the season last night. Oklahoma City won by two over Utah. He had 38, 10, and 10. The Suns have Minnesota tonight. If the Suns go on a bit of a run here, am I supposed to get excited? They won a couple of games over the weekend. I would say winning at Toronto on a back-to-back, that's a pretty good victory for them. What we saw in Cleveland was what we're supposed to see in Cleveland. The Suns got whacked over the head and got pushed around. I have been full throat on Lonzo Ball. That is what I want to see happen for the Suns. I want them to continue to stink out loud. I want them to continue their amazing run of not making a playoff game since May 29th of 2010. Go look it up. And the only way they're going to do that and get Lonzo Ball and get out of this mess that they're in, because I think if you bring him in, like this has been a really good college basketball season. Very, very good. Very, very interesting and exciting. But I'm looking at it as to who can the Suns get with a top three, top five pick, not number 11 or 13 again. Who could they land that could get them out of this purgatory that we're in? If you've noticed, and I'm sure this doesn't sit well down in downtown Phoenix, Philadelphia's figured it out. All of a sudden, the 76ers with Brian Colangelo running the show. Yeah, that same guy that was run out here. And the way that they've built things, all of a sudden, they're starting to win games, and they're going to get out of jail in a hurry. I don't think the team here is going to. If they're smart in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they trade P.J. Tucker and get him out of here. If they're smart, they trade Tyson Chandler, get him out of here. They're not bad guys. But these people that get all excited about winning games in 2017, that's the problem that we're in. You've got to really suck, especially when you have a player like Ball and his... Is there another player that you see this year, E? Anybody? I know we're supposed to have Clark Kellogg here in the next week or so, but... Is there another player that you see across the country that could be a game changer? And more importantly, put fans in the seats. Lonzo Ball immediately makes TV ratings in Phoenix.
But
immediately.
What do the Suns not need of all the things?
You can trade them. You can trade
them. They have so many guards.
Yes. And so you, and none of those guards really get people that excited, or they're not going to be here long term.
The thing I love about Lonzo Ball is he's explosive enough as a playmaker to be a one, but he's also proven this year he's good enough of an outside shooter.
It's got a weird shot, though.
It doesn't matter. It goes in.
Weird.
Adrian Dantley shot really weird free throws, had very weird technique.
Loved
back in the
Adrian
day.
Dantley. Loved him.
He was like an 89% free throw
shooter. I take Adrian Dantley on my team. You know what Adrian Dantley would do? He'd rub the basketball.
Yep.
He would rub, like I've taught my son.
Our younger audience has no idea who we're talking about.
Do you remember Kyle Macy?
Of course.
So I've taught my son the Kyle Macy free throw thing. Where do you go wipe the sweat off your hands before you shoot free throws?
The back of your socks.
On the backs of your socks. I did this in high school because I thought it was really cool and it's smart. So before every free throw, he walks up there. And yeah, our younger audience may not know. There's this thing called YouTube. Go look it up. I don't want my son to go look at certain guys in the NBA and say, this is who you should model, or even in college basketball. My son now is totally hooked on Lonzo Ball because I forced it down his throat. I said, go watch Lauri Markkanen at U of A and see how he can step out as a big man and hit a three.
Love him. Then go love Markkanen. Yeah, love him.
Then go watch his footwork, right? Go watch his footwork and what he does down low. And so for a 12-year-old to have somebody to look towards, and we'll watch an NBA game, and he'll say, okay, who should I watch here? Watch Draymond Green about 90%. There's like 10% that you shouldn't watch, okay? Take a little bit. I know you're watching Steph Curry because all the kids are watching Steph Curry. We go out to games on weekends, and I see these kids that have their mouthpiece in, and it's fine. Parents are looking out for their teeth and their mouths and all that. But without fail, the Steph Curry wannabes turn that mouthpiece around and play with it outside their mouth without touching it. When they're not shooting free throws, when they're not playing the game, they're messing around. It's fine. It's like when the Diamondbacks won the World Series. Kids after kid after kid had the Craig Council, Luis Gonzalez batting stance. That's just what you do. On the other side, Peter King. We'll talk with Peter on all sorts of things around the National Football League, including Larry Fitzgerald's future, Kurt Warner in the Hall of Fame, because Peter is going to be a voter in the room. The game itself, the Chargers in San Diego. Does Peter believe that another NFL team will come to San Diego? So it's far-reaching, not just in Arizona, but across the NFL. That's next with Peter King and then Greg Byrne. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now as we continue looking closer at the Super Bowl, it's time to bring on board the Monday Morning Quarterback. Always good to catch up with Peter King, a weekly staple during the regular season with MMQB.com and SI.com. And of course, now Peter can add the title of grandfather. We are going to go on the personal side just for a second because you had a life-changing moment. You're on a plane. You shed your tears. You wrote about it at MMQB. Congratulations, Grandpa, before we get into the Falcons and the Patriots.
Brad, I appreciate it. It's as fun as everybody says. It's weird to know that, the King name will live on. I mean, it's kind of funny. You never, as I wrote, when I wrote about this a week ago in my Monday column, you know, one day you're refereeing disputes between your 9 and 6 year old daughters. And the next day, your daughter calls you and says, Dad, you're going to be a grandfather.
Yeah.
And, right. You know, it's just things happen fast in life. And luckily for me, things happen well. So we're all, everybody's well, baby in San Francisco now almost 2 weeks old. And everybody in the family is just thrilled.
That's awesome. All right, a couple of house cleaning items here in Arizona before we get to the game. And that is your gut feel today on Larry Fitzgerald as we sit here. The guessing game of Fitz is going on the 24th of January. What is your view of Larry Fitzgerald returning to Arizona next season?
I wish I had a good gut feel, but, you know, I asked him at the end of the year, and he had no he said he was going to take some time to think about it and that he was going to try everything he could, you know, to make a correct decision. And that decision was really going to be based on, you know, basically how he feels and, you know, physically, mentally. Mm-hmm. This game, you know, I've said this to Larry a few times. I'm amazed when I watch him play and the hits that he takes. I'm absolutely amazed that time after time, he just gets up like nothing ever happened. I mean, don't you sometimes watch the games and watch the hits that he takes and basically say, oh, he's not getting up from that.
Right.
And he gets up from every one. And I just think, that it's easy to sit here and say, man, Larry Fitzgerald's different. Well, no, he's not. He's, you know, he hurts like everybody else. He needs the Advil and the Motrin or whatever, just like everybody else does. And he probably needs more than that. So, again, Brad, I wish I had some intel on it. I have none. I don't know what he's going to do.
Kurt Warner, does he make it into the Hall of Fame? You'll be in that room on Saturday. Does Kurt make it into the room, Peter?
this is one of those years where, okay, LaDainian Tomlinson, I think, is highly likely. But this is one of those years that I think the other four spots, I will not be surprised. You know, Tony Boselli, Terrell Davis, Kurt Warner. I mean, I just won't be surprised no matter who gets his name called this year. And I don't mean that to shirk my responsibility for you asking the question, Brad.
Sure.
Because I truly don't know. Every time before I go into the hall, every time before I go into those meetings, every time I write down on my little notepad, you know, here's what I think. And, you know, usually I get one or two of them right. And this year, I have no idea what I'm going to write down. I was looking at the class the other day, and I even think that, you know, the three others, the two senior committee nominees, or the one senior committee nominee, Kenny Easley, the safety for Seattle, and then, you know, the two contributors, Paul Tagliabue and Jerry Jones, who don't compete
right
with the 15 in the room that you just vote either yes or no, and an 80% vote gets any of those three guys in, and they don't compete with the other ones. But I don't even know if those guys are going to get in, even though I do think going into the meeting anyway, my gut feeling is all three of them belong. So anyway, I mean, I always feel at this time of year, like before I head into the meeting, I always feel like I have a pretty good handle on the class. This year, I have zero handle on this class.
Have you made a determination, and if you're willing to share it, great. If not, I get it. Have you made a determination on how you'll vote on Warner?
Oh, I would vote yes on Warner.
Okay.
You know, and I've thought long and hard about but it isn't that simple, Brad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to me, here's why it isn't that simple. Because I would vote yes on more than five in the class. And you don't have that option when it comes down to it. You know, first you hear the cases, and then you thin the class from 15 to 10, and then maybe you have a little more discussion, and you thin the class from 10 to 5, and then you vote yes or no on the 5. So, I am inclined to vote for Warner, yes, but I can't tell you right now because I just don't know. If it comes down to, let's just say, you know, Warner versus Brian Dawkins, okay, if that's – because you never know, like in the – you know, if it gets to 10 and I am my last vote, if I've decided, okay, I like four guys a lot, and then it's Warner versus Brian Dawkins, that's a real tough one because I think absolutely both guys are Hall of Fame players. But then you have to ask yourself – was Warner better at his position than Dawkins was at his? Those are the kinds of decisions that go on that when people say, so, I mean, does Kurt Warner have your vote? I favor Kurt Warner for the Hall of Fame, but I can't tell you right now that if it comes down to he's in the 10 and I've got to vote for five in the 10, it really depends who else he's up against.
And I think, Peter, and we'll move on off this thought, though, is the middle years of his career with the Giants has to
donut
be,
hole.
Yeah, that's the spot. If you're trying to, in hearing you speak, if it comes down to one versus the other, there is that spot in his career. I term it to him where he was rescued off the scrap heap, and he doesn't like that term at all with me. You know that, but it's true. And he that's where he was at his point of his career before coming.
Well, you know, here's how I view Kurt Warner's career. Okay. That would never have happened, in my opinion, the sort of donut hole in the middle of his career, had he not been injured. But the fact is, he was injured, and, you know, he sort of lost his place because everybody looked at him like, especially when he went to the Giants.
Right.
Okay, you're keeping the seat warm for the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, obviously, Kurt Warner has to be thinking, I mean, I'm not at the seat warmer category yet. You know, I'm not where, like, in today's terms, I'm not where Josh McCown is. you know, where I just want to back up somewhere.
Right.
Because
right.
he still thought that he could play, and he darn well proved it because, I mean, you know and I know that if the game plan is different in that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, he'd have a ring right now. At least, I will always think that way. You know, if they were a little bit more, kind of diverse and open mm-hmm. in the first half and a little bit more aggressive, I will always think they would have won that game. But again, ifs and buts, candy and nuts.
Sure. If somebody could have pushed James Harrison out of bounds. I mean, it's really what it comes down to in these, these situations. One other national item, and that is your thought. I've had people that have asked me, when you have Peter on again, please ask him what he thinks is going on in San Diego. Not just what happened last week, but will they get an NFL team back? So I'm going to lay it out there for you, put it on a tee, and you whack it out of the park.
Well, I've seen this happen a lot in the NFL, okay, where a city that people view as a very solid, enthusiastic, excited, kind of nutty, tailgating fan base loses a team, and eventually they get one back.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got this feeling. I don't know who it'll be. Will it be Jacksonville someday? I don't know who. I can't tell you who it might be because I don't know. But as I sit here right now, Brad, I think sometime in the next 10 years, San Diego's going to have a team back. That's just my gut feeling. It's a gut feeling because I think now that a new I think Dean Spanos and the politicians and city fathers of San Diego and that area, there was too much bad feeling and too much distrust. And then when they spent 50 times the amount of money that the opposition spent to pass this, to pass this initiative on the ballot last November, and they needed 2/3 and they only got 43%. I think that was it.
Right.
Spanos at that point threw up his hands and said, look, there has been a lot of ill will, everything like that. But if there's that few people who will support this, I'm not going to be able to get a stadium done here. But I will tell you this. There are those in the NFL, including people in positions of high authority in the NFL, who believe that a stadium in Mission Valley, right near where Qualcomm is, once you do all the environmental testing, okay, which is in California, as you know, Brad,
takes
is
forever.
Extremely significant and is multi-million dollar significant. But once you resolve that, that is the place for the stadium. Downtown is not the place for the stadium, especially with the train that you can take from any downtown hotel and be there in 10 minutes.
Right.
It's a fantastic setup. The last time the Super Bowl was there, I said, my God, the Super Bowl should be here every third or fourth year. This is fantastic. This whole area is great, but the stadium needs to be in Mission Valley. And look, I don't know when it's going to be. My gut feeling is they'll get a team back.
The Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback, MMQB.com, SI.com. Turning our attention to the game itself. So I'm hearing all about Bill Belichick, which is rightly so. But Dan Quinn is sitting over there. This will be, what, his third Super Bowl in 4 years?
Peter? 4 years, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, fill me in here on Dan Quinn. Could you see this coming out of him?
Here's the thing about Dan Quinn that I have a lot of respect for. He got to Atlanta, and remember, 2 years ago, owner Arthur Blank of the Falcons almost fired Thomas Dimitroff, too. Not only Mike Smith,
right.
He almost made a clean break, but he decided, okay, now I really like Dimitroff. I think he's really smart. Everything, we're going to give him this hire. We're going to give him this coach. So they hired Dan Quinn. And right away, Dan Quinn, Thomas Dimitroff, Dimitroff's staff, including Scott Pioli, the former Patriots and Chiefs guy, Steve Sabo, the college scout who's been around for a long time, they form this bond in that all personnel people, all scouting people, you know what they want to know? Hey, coach, what kind of player do you want? Mm-hmm. Give me an idea at every position what you want. And take Deion Jones. Nobody thought anything of it when Atlanta took Deion Jones in the second round out of LSU. But when Dan Quinn looked at him, he said he's got the size, he's got the ranginess, he's got the speed, he's got the lateral quickness to be exactly what we want in our middle linebacker. And that's exactly what happened. He's become this guy will go to multiple Pro Bowls. He may take over when Bobby Wagner starts to decline as the inside/middle backer that everybody looks at as ideal. And to me, I just look at the bond that Quinn and the personnel side made. 7 of the 12 starters, including the nickel corner, have come in the last 2 years since Quinn got there. They have built something that is going to last for a while, Brad.
And they need to thank Cleveland for Julio Jones and Alex Mack. And yeah. I mean, it's a train wreck there. One other thought here, Peter, and it's this, the picture of Roger Goodell standing there with a trophy with Bob Kraft and Tom Brady will go down as one of the most iconic pictures of all time, assuming it happens. Are we both on the same page on that?
It will be, and I've been telling people, as a matter of fact, I just made a couple of phone calls about it yesterday because I'm going to write about it next Monday. The last time something like this happened, when Pete Rozelle had to hand the trophy to Al Davis,
yes.
And there was a war between the NFL and the Raiders, and Pete Rozelle and Al Davis did not speak, period. And so Rozelle had to stand there and he had to give the trophy to him. And so I will say this. Bob Kraft is in the league office at least once every 2 weeks doing league business. He has an apartment in New York, so he's in New York a lot. And I was told a couple of weeks ago that it is not spoken about. It very rarely is mentioned what happened to the Patriots. And honestly, you know, when you're conducting league business, there's only so many times you can tell the commissioner you made a big mistake.
Right.
He's said his piece. Now they're moving on. So the difference is Bob Kraft, Roger Goodell conduct business with each other a lot now. But they obviously are going to have a different relationship if they do meet up on that podium. I think that it'll be a little bit icy for Goodell up there if that's what happens.
I appreciate your time and insight as always, Peter. Thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot, Brad. You have a great week.
You as well. There's Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback. Always good to catch up with Peter, the MMQB.com. Great content there, and congratulations on him being a grandfather. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Joined now by outgoing athletic director Greg Byrne at the University of Arizona. He is headed to Alabama. Let me just say, first and foremost, I don't do this very often, but when I was first starting Sports 360 AZ and I ran into Greg up in Las Vegas, and I had mentioned that part of what we see here in Arizona, and we continue to see to this day, is the lack of media paying attention to what's going on with the Wildcats across the state, and that our charge, one of our charges from my end, is we're going to do that. And Greg said, well, how are you putting this together? How are you making this work financially? And I said, well, it's through sponsorship and only sponsorship. And he said, well, what can I do to help? And he called some people, and some people returned the call. And so part of why we are still here after 5.5 years is people like Greg Byrne, a man of his word, who steps forward now to the telephone. With that big, long, mushy introduction, I want your blazer. I want the red and blue blazer. We're about the same size. What are you going to do with that?
Would you wear it?
Sure. Sure, I'd wear that. Heck yeah, I'd wear that. I'd put it on. I mean, I could wear it to a picnic. I could use it as a tablecloth at a picnic, for crying out loud.
I thought you figured that was just high-end style right there when I was wearing
it. No. Have you already been fitted for a crimson one?
Not yet, but I'm sure I will. As you can imagine, I've been drinking out of a fire hose in the last week. I've had about an hour and a half free this morning, and I got my text messages below 300, so I'm making progress.
Attaboy. I'm curious, who did you lean on most to make this difficult decision?
Well, my wife, Regina, first of all, because, you know, we obviously used to live in Starkville, which is only 75 miles away from Tuscaloosa.
Right.
One of the great advantages I have is my dad was an AD for 29 years and in the Pac-10 and Big 12 and then the SEC to end his career with Texas A&M. And so I've always been able to get good, sound advice from him without any agenda at all. He just, him being his, you know, my dad and me being his son. And so I've always been able to bounce it off of him. So that's always helpful. And then I got a couple other AD friends, especially Scott Strickland, who's at Florida, who is just who's always been really strong for me in every aspect.
What did you need to learn about that job that you didn't know? Because you were, like you said, you're already down there, but I'm sure when they first approached you, it couldn't have automatically see, oh, well, heck yeah, I'm coming. What did you need to learn before you were convinced it was time to go there?
Well, I needed to, you know, I knew about Alabama and the history, and I told the story at my press conference when I first went to Tuscaloosa about 15 years ago and went and ran the campus and saw, you know, I respect what, obviously the great historical times under Coach Bryant. And then at the same time, too, there's historical times going on right now in Tuscaloosa under Coach Saban. And so, you know, there's people when you go through their a process like this, you want to check things out, you know, where they are competitively, academically, compliance, across the board, facilities. And I had a pretty good idea on a lot of those things just because, you know, Alabama's obviously in the news a lot. They're easy to learn and read about. And then, you know, as it progressed and they seemed like they were pretty focused potentially on me, you just had to see where the process led. I hope people respect that, you know, you pray about it. You ask for guidance and direction and the opportunity came along and we have mixed emotions because we absolutely love the University of Arizona and all the people and the supporters and the student athletes and the coaches and the staff. And, you know, I really felt like we were all trying to pull the rope in the same direction collectively. And you know, that's not easy to walk away from. And at the same time too, it's an incredible opportunity at the University of Alabama and the responses we've heard from Arizona folks as well as Alabama folks has just been outstanding. We can't tell you how much we have felt the support and people have, you know, people have been very understanding and we can't thank them enough.
In the arms race, Greg, of facilities, Clemson's opening what I hear is some world-class deal, and it's always somebody else is opening a world-class deal. Is Alabama where that needs to be? Is that one of your items that you've got to address once you get there? Is that always something to address, is facilities?
I think it's the latter. It's always something to address. Their infrastructure is actually really, really good. But you can't just sit there and assume, well, we've got what we need, and you have to reinvest in your success, and you have to say, what are our next steps? Because the reality is the competition is not slowing down. Auburn and LSU and, you know, all the schools in the SEC, they've got their pedal to the metal, and you have to make sure that you're doing everything you can to keep the University of Alabama where it wants to be, and that's obviously very competitive across the board in all of its sports, you know, competing for national championships, and obviously the foundation of that's with football and the importance of that. You know, the job that Coach Saban has done there is really is historical. I mean, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Alabama cannot take for granted and needs to do everything it can to continue to move the program forward so it can compete at that level.
Have you heard from him since you took the job?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they brought Regina and I out to Tuscaloosa. We spent a couple hours with he and his wife, Miss Terry, at their home, and really had a great time. And we ended up really having a lot of things that we were 100% on the same page with, and it was a great discussion, and really made me feel very good about even more excited about the opportunity that's there.
I hear he has a big grand piano when you walk into the house, which is a piano that he purchased back when they had nothing or found a way to purchase. So it's kind of a way of, look, this is a journey, and pretty impressive, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, his track record as a college football coach is among the absolute elites. And, you know, depending on what happens in the future, it could be his great story, the great history he's had as a head coach could actually even grow larger.
As you leave the Pac-12 and you go into the SEC, what does the Pac-12 need to do from your point of view to catch up to the SEC? Is it just the television deals got to get better? Are they on the same par? What do you see their conference? Because you're jumping, and you've been in this conference before. Now that you've sampled Pac, well, not even sampled, you've been a part of the fabric of Pac-12. You've been in the SEC before. What does Pac-12 need to do better?
Well, that's a good question. There's a lot of strengths to the Pac-12. They're great institutions. There's the CEOs, the presidents, and chancellors have been very supportive of athletics. And at the same time, too, I think one of the absolute focuses that's going to be critical for the Pac-12 moving forward, because it impacts the University of Arizona, it impacts Arizona State, is it needs to maximize the potential revenues to get to the campuses and be spent on the campuses and be focused on allowing the campuses to reinvest in their successes, reinvest in their infrastructure, because the world is changing. 20 years ago, when Mike Candrea here at Arizona, who's won 8 national championships in softball, when he would recruit, he would just go, you know, over to California and say, "I want this kid, I want this kid," and most of them would come over here. Those kids now travel all over the country with their club teams and the youth teams they play on, and so the idea of leaving Southern California to go to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, is not out of the question, and it does happen. And so the reality is you have to make sure that you're competitive from an infrastructure standpoint, because to be able to compete at the highest levels, which is what the Pac-12 schools want to do, at least I believe they do, then they need to not take a back seat when it comes to the infrastructure and support on their campuses. And the reality is that Arizona, what I've said to our fan base, and they responded so well and so generously, you know, the things we're dealing with, it's not an arms race for us. Ours is a infrastructure that has a lot of age to it that needs to be replaced just because of the age of it. Mm-hmm. And I think the conference has to absolutely be focused on getting revenues to the campus.
As you walk away and you go to Alabama, what are you most proud of, and what do you look back on and say, "Man, I wish I would have done this differently"?
That's a good question. I think other people may be better at answering what I'm most proud of better than I am in some ways. I guess a couple things. From a competitive standpoint, obviously winning the national championship in baseball of 2012, getting back there again to the final game this past year with Jay and you know, with Andy Lopez before that. Winning the Pac-12 South 2 years ago, getting the Fiesta Bowl, and that was a special moment. Obviously, last year didn't go as well as we needed it to, but, you know, Rich Rod hasn't forgotten how to coach football. The guy's a good, he's a great football coach, one of the most innovative guys out there. And I'm not going to say his name because he never told me to say this publicly, but one of the best-known coaches in our country in the college game told me if he can sit down and talk offense every year with the coach, there's 3 coaches that he wants to do that with, and Rich Rod's number one. And so he's obviously had a little bit of a back step this past year, but I feel confident he can get it going in the future, and it's going to be critical for the Arizona fans to show every support they can for him. So that was good. You know, we've just had the best academic semester we've had in our history this last fall. And I know people don't always pay attention to that. That's really important to us. We work at that hard, and we've done a good job from a compliance standpoint, and I'm just really am proud of the way our fans have continued to support the program and even in new ways. What we do differently?
I mean, there's things there's things you look at and you say, "Man, I might have missed the mark here. I wish I would have done this." What would it be?
I would say, you may laugh at this one.
Sure.
The McHale renovation, it is beautiful. It looks so good. The blue chairs that we have down low with the blocking on them that look so sharp, I wish we would have done a lower seat back. People thought we tried to jam more seats in, which we didn't. We actually kept the tread depth exactly the same, but that made the leg room a little tight. So that would be something in hindsight that I wish we would have done a little bit different, but that maybe get corrected in time too. So that's one that you could potentially find a solution for. All it takes is money.
University of Alabama athletic director. It's pretty heady stuff for an ASU grad and a Fiesta Bowl intern who used to go down to Zia Records, right? You kind of look at this story of where you are, and you're still a young man in this industry, and you look at it and do you shake your head? Have you had the pinch moment yet?
Yeah, I tell you what, Brad. You know, I mean, you know me well enough. I take what I do very seriously.
Sure.
I don't take myself that seriously.
No.
And I mean, if you see some of the stuff I tweet about and positions I put myself in, you got to have fun with it. You know, this is a very consuming job. 11 months out of the year, 6 at a minimum, and often 7 days a week. And I just feel very blessed. And I've had great support from Regina, my wife, and my parents, and our boys. And we've had great staff and coaches that I get to work with. I mean, I was talking about Rich Rudd. Rich is great to work with. Sean Miller, he's the absolute best. He's actually become one of my best friends in life. Mm. And I just admire the coaches and the student athletes that I get to be around. I mean, I was in the weight room this morning at McHale early at 6 o'clock, and it's packed with kids trying to get better. And, you know, how lucky am I that I get to be around that on a daily basis? And so I've been more than blessed, and we're going to keep working all as hard as we can. And we'll always be cheering for the Arizona Wildcats.
Best of luck to you, and we'll see you down the road. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thanks. Bear down and roll tide.
You got them both in. There you go. There's Greg Byrne. He's got a great job in front of him and did a great job at the University of Arizona. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, so tonight we've got the Suns tonight. Suns play Minnesota at home. I'll be watching some of that. And I like the Timberwolves roster. Who doesn't like Zach LaVine and Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Wiggins? They're loaded in terms of young talent. They're not good, though. They're like the Suns. They have a bunch of nice young players, some players that have come in that really haven't done a whole lot. And they're a star away, like most teams. So Suns play Minnesota tonight. The Coyotes did win last night. Tomorrow night, even Eric, I was talking to Eric about this. He was not aware. ASU plays at home tomorrow night against Washington. Here's where the defense of ASU basketball, the last three games, when they went through this tough stretch of at U of A, at UCLA, at USC, and their defense gave up 90 points per game, close to it. In those three games, you're not going to win anything. But again, me being me, I see progress of Bobby Hurley. This is not the U of A and where they are, but when you start at ground zero like Bobby did, I've seen some progress. The schedule is softening out a little bit for them this week. You have Washington and Washington State at home, ASU at home tomorrow, Wednesday night, against the Huskies, and then they have the Cougars over the weekend. So. Something to look forward to. And, of course, it's the in-between Super Bowl week and Tigers playing over Torrey Pines, and I am interested in that. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. Pro, college, high school, college, pro. Makes no difference to me. We do things national, do things local. A little different, a little off-center than everybody else. Been at it 5.5 years. We're self-funded. We appreciate all of the partners, the advertisers that support us, and for you jumping in as well. Love doing it day in and day out. Tonight, our TV show on Fox Sports Arizona. 7 airings tonight, 7 airings tomorrow, and 4 on Thursday. It's on Fox Sports Arizona. Check your listings. Thanks for being with us.